I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by the Cabins at Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
To a brand new day. It is nice to have you waking up with us for another edition of KSL Outdoors Radio on this Saturday morning. A pleasure, as always, to be here with you. Tim Hughes, Russ Smith is actually on the road this week. He's in Phoenix, Arizona, and he's usually not the one that's jumping on an airplane and heading somewhere, but this week he's off on some kind of a convention gathering to hang out with all of his satellite phone buddies and talk about new constellations of satellites and new technology, so we'll look forward to him joining us again next week. Mike Navidomskis is back on the phone with us. Good morning, Navi.
Good morning, Tim.
How are you?
I'm very well. I mean, it's been good. I got finished with school last week, and then this week I finished my fly tying classes, so summer has officially kicked off for me.
Yeah, and summer usually means for you, most people would think you're going to head out fishing, but you're going to jump on your bike in the next week or so, and we didn't get a chance to flush out that whole story last week much.
Well, I'm actually in Steamboat this coming week, going to ride my bike with my wife and play golf because I fly to Ireland the following week for 2 weeks of golf, 10 straight days of golf in Ireland.
And
yeah,
she
and I got me a rain suit for it.
Oh, good.
I hear the rain and the wind is bad, but I love it because we're going to get some live music at all the pubs every night. And then after about a week of that, Gail flies in for the second part. And then we're going to tour around Ireland for, you know, about a week. And then we're going to fly to Amsterdam for about 3 or 4 days. And then we're going to fly to Florence, Italy for about 3 or 4 days. And then we're going to fly to Paris, and that's when we start to ride our bikes. We're going to get on a bike in Paris, right down at the Eiffel Tower, and go all the way to Big Ben in London. We're going to go across the ferry, but we're going to ride up to the shore and then on the other side from the shore to Big Ben.
Crazy!
Yeah, that's what I do for summer.
Yeah. Well, you got to get it while the getting's good, and when you're a school teacher, you definitely have a window of opportunity here of what
is exactly the best thing about teaching is June, July, August.
Yeah, and you'll be back at it before you know. But I'm so glad to hear you're getting away and doing some fun things with Gail with you. She's not going to be a part of that first 7 days or so in Ireland, and you know you could enjoy the pub life without standing out in the cold and the wind and the rain golfing.
Well, that's what she says, and that's why she's coming in the second half. She's really excited for the live music. The Irish pub has always been her thing, but she can't cope with all the golf the first week, so she's going to work the first week and then fly over and meet us.
Yeah. I hear the grass is tall over there, too, so you better be working on your game while you're in Steamboat.
Oh, the wind, the rain, and you got to bump and run because I heard the grains don't hold, and if you go to the rough, you lose a ball. And everybody says bring your own balls because they're way expensive in Ireland.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a good time. And, of course, that's right in your wheelhouse to be back there with all of your homies in Ireland, isn't it?
Yeah, that's most of the reason I'm going. People don't know that Navidomskis is an adopted name. My real name is Michael Tobin. with a maiden name of McIntyre and Butler. So I'm about as Irish as you get. My father was full blood and my mother was half. And my grandmother spoke with a bit of a brogue. She says, "The Lord made the Irish number one."
Well, I want some video of you making a toast and singing along with your compadres over there. That'll be fun.
And we'll get some video of the jig. I can do an Irish jig for you.
Well, I could do without that, actually. Just give me the singing. Or no, give me the dance and leave out the singing. How's that?
That's the better way to go. And Galway says, "You're crazy. He dances pretty well, but he cannot sing."
Yeah. I just want to mention what's coming up on the show today. In the next hour, we're going to be joined by Faith Jolly from the Division of Wildlife Resources. She actually joined us last week to talk about a totally different topic. This week, we're talking bear safety. So we'll do that at the top of the next hour. Also going to check in with Roger Eggett from Bear River Lodge. And I will re-air, since this is Free Fishing Day, I'm going to re-air a conversation we had with Randy Oplinger about the do's and the don'ts, the things you can and can't do, but hopefully everybody remembers it is Free Fishing Day and to get out and enjoy. We'll wrap up the show today, by the way. You're going to stick around because we're going to map out some of the organized activities that are taking place today for folks that want to stay close to home and get a little help if they've got kids that don't know how to fish. So we look forward to that. Speaking of fishing, though, I just want to throw this out there. I noticed on the division website a couple of days ago that they've stocked 15,000 tiger muskies into Jordan L. Reservoir. How do you feel about that?
Jordan L., I did not know about this.
Yeah, 15,000 of them.
Jordan L. getting tiger muskies, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a bad feeling about it. Let me tell you, Jordan L. is an underfished fishery. It's a little bit higher and a little bit cooler. It tends to fish better than other fisheries that people mostly frequent. And I don't see very many anglers on Jordan L at all. So why not? I think it's a great idea. I know so many guys that fly into Salt Lake just to go for our tiger muskie up at Pine View. So why not?
Well, I think the
I don't have a problem with it.
Stake record is knocking on the door of 50 inches, or maybe it's even a little bit bigger than that.
Yeah, 56 is what I last heard, 56 inches. But, yeah, there's a lot of them near that range. So, yeah, it's a fun fish to catch. And, yeah, I guess it'll be, they'll do fine in Jordan. Now, it's colder than Pine View. It'll be interesting. And the boating, all the water skiing and stuff at Pine View is problematic. It kind of collides with the fishermen. So they'll have less of that at Jordan. Now, I can see the wisdom of trying it there.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
How long do you think it'll be before those fish are catchable of any size?
Well, they'll be catchable next year. Well, they'll be catchable this year if they put them in big enough. But 5 years, life expectancy of those guys are only 5 years. So those 50-inch fish are less than 6 years old.
You mentioned
it won't be very long before they're catchable.
Yeah, you mentioned Pine View Reservoir. That is one of five waters that were listed in an article that you can actually check out on the KSL.com homepage that list five places in Utah where you can catch tiger muskie. Pine View may be the closest. The current stake record, according to this, is 49 inches, caught in 2006, by the way.
I think I know somebody got a 56 incher.
Well,
I've caught them in Newton and Pine View. I don't know where else they are.
Yeah, Newton Reservoir is the other one listed. 53 inches is the catch and release record that was landed in 1998, according to this. But Pine View really is a prime place to hunt for a trophy. They've been in there a good long time. But as you said, I guess they fully mature in 5 years.
That's what I figure. And Pine View's been really good. There's a lot of forage fish. A lot of carp, a lot of bluegill, a lot of shallow fish that come in, and it's a great place to go. And you get a little bit of an elevated boat. You can see them. It's sight fishing. The fly rod guys do every bit as well as any spinning rod person. So it's becoming quite the target at Pine View.
Yeah, you mentioned Newton. It's a smaller reservoir up there in Cache Valley with a surface area just under 300 acres when it's full, and I would imagine this will be one of those years. Joe's Valley is the other place. If you go up there in search of splake, don't be surprised if you find a tiger muskie along the way.
Well, Mickey was there last weekend, Mickey and Finn both. They went down to Newton. They'd never been there. They caught a bunch of splake. There's also a climbing wall there that Finn, you wear a wetsuit, so if you miss a hold, you fall into the lake. So he's got some good footage of him going up some wall and then dropping into the river or the lake there at Joe's Valley, and they caught a bunch of spike as well from the flow tubes.
Here's the other two that are on this list. Fish Lake, which might be off the radar of some people.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Oh, here you go. The current Utah spear fishing record, if you're looking at that for Tiger Muskie, is 46 inches. That goes back to 2013. And Johnson...
So they let you shoot at him with a spear?
I guess you can spearfish for him, yeah.
I had no idea. Does that include bow?
You'd have to be going after him, those torpedoes in the shallows, though.
Yeah, I like to go for him in the shallows already.
Yeah. And Johnson Reservoir rounds out the five that are listed in this lake, which is pretty close proximity to Fish Lake. So,
yeah, Johnson's right down there near Fish Lake, correct.
Anyway, if you want to check out all the details, the information, you can go to KSL.com or go to our Facebook page. I've shared it there as well, the five best spots to catch Utah's elusive tiger muskie. And from the stocking report that came out this week, it won't be long or too many years before maybe we add Jordan Nell to that list. I just wanted to make sure that was on everybody's radar. All right.
Well, I think we invented them, Tim, tiger muskies.
Really?
Yeah, I think we really did. I think it's Drew Cushing. And Utah's on the map. And when you talk tiger muskies, the only place you think of is Utah.
What? It seems like there was a story, wasn't there, where they were actually brewing this concoction here local, close to home, actually, out near Magna somewhere, if my memory serves me correctly.
I think Drew Cushing, I think he's behind it. I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure that Utah invented that fish.
I'll have to ask him next time I see him.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to break here. You're going to stick around. This is Free Fishing Day, so remember all of the same rules and regulations apply. You just don't need a license today to fish in the state of Utah. And going to be a cool day, so keep that in mind. You're going to want to bundle up. This cold front that moved in on Friday is bringing about 20-degree cooler temperatures with it. It looks like it's going to be dry, but it will be cooler. So keep that in mind as you head out today. But Navi's going to stick around, and we'll talk later in the program about some of the organized activities that are happening around Free Fishing Day. So don't go away. Activities that are happening around Free Fishing Day. So don't go away.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by the Cabins at Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to a brand new day. It is a pleasure, as always, to have you waking up with us for another Saturday morning, and not bad out there. Another motorcycle ride in, 73 degrees at Broadcast House. A little bit warmer than that by a notch or two at the airport, but we're looking for a daytime high today, believe it or not. We haven't said this in a while. Seasonal normal. We're going to be in the lower 90s, and it looks like it'll stay there all the way through the next 7-day period. But more on that coming up in a minute. Whatever your weekend plans are, I would not hesitate to be out there. We'll probably see a couple of brush-by storms. You heard Mark talking about it. Just a 20% chance of showers today and tomorrow. I'm Tim Hughes. Russ Smith also here from Sky Call this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Helps if you turn that microphone on.
I thought that was your job.
There you go.
There.
You need me to do that for you today? Is it going to be one of those mornings for you?
It's going to be one of those mornings. I'm a little hammered. I hurt my back again last night, so I got some good meds that are...
Oh, is that what it is?
Taking control.
I
can't be held responsible for anything I say this morning.
It's kind of good that we've balanced out the health scale here with...
Yes, we got the unhealthy.
The skinny man who came in with you this morning.
You kind of got the before and after here, you know?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, then we'll look forward to seeing the after pictures with you.
Maybe so.
When you're feeling better and drop...
I'm doing all right.
50 pounds. That's what this guy did right here. Charlie Jennings is in with the skinny man, as I called him when he got out of the car this morning. You look good.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. It's good to be here.
I thought you had somebody in from Ethiopia or something.
He's not that skinny. Actually, what is it? You said 45 pounds.
Uh-huh.
Over how long of a period of time?
Started in March, and about March 13th to July 1st, I dropped actually 48 pounds.
Awesome. So.
To be exact, 48 pounds, 6 ounces, something like that. No. And I have tried to follow in your footsteps a little bit with the water consumption, but, man, that is hard to do. You have to convince yourself to drink that much water every day.
It's an acquired taste.
What was the amount?
About 120 ounces a day.
Okay.
I take several bottles, put them in the car, and just...
Isn't that like a gallon?
The day.
It's like a gallon, isn't it? 120?
Oh, heck.
How many ounces in a gallon?
You're going to ask me these questions?
Yeah, 32 times
128.
Four. Yeah, 128. Okay, yeah. Close.
Anyway, so a gallon of water a day and plenty of visits to the loo.
You better believe it, I'll tell you.
Anyway, you look great. It's good to have
you
here. We'll explain why I asked Charlie last minute to come in this morning. Nabonauskas, by the way, is in Steamboat. It's his annual pilgrimage over there to Colorado. Whether he gets out of bed this morning to call us or not is in question. He told me last night, or texted me last night, that I should call him and make sure he's up and around.
Because a wake-up call.
He planned on doing a little partying last night and wasn't sure he'd... he said remember. I don't think it's a remember thing.
Did he take the little hat with him?
You mean his European fedora?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I have to ask him that.
He'll make the news there.
Yeah, and our producer, Matt Jalalian, also in with us this morning.
Good morning.
Always good to see you.
Good to be here.
I was following your photos. I guess the only time we communicate during the week is on social media back and forth, so I see what you're doing. But looks like you've had a normal, busy week for you, too.
Yeah, just working a whole bunch, dealing with a sick baby.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Learning what that's like to be a daddy.
Yeah. It's been fun, if you will.
We've all been there.
We've done our time.
And some of us are still doing our time.
That's
we thought we were done with our time, but now it's the grandkids coming around that want to spread disease around the house every day. Coming up today, we're going to be talking with our big game coordinator, and looking forward to sharing that conversation with you, Justin Shannon, because believe it or not, guys, we are... What is it, a week or a little more than a week now? The 19th.
Yeah.
The archery season comes our way. It's that time of year.
There's always some hunting going on somewhere in North America.
And here in Utah, I know a lot of guys have been waiting for this, but we'll talk about what the expectations are for the year. Kind of an interesting mix. I caught up with him 2 days ago, and they said we're looking at record populations of deer in the state, and yet, because we had such a tough winter, the mortality rate on the fawns was really high, and in some parts of the state, it might be as high as 80% or 90%, which I had no idea. And that was even with supplemental feeding programs that were going on. So they have some concerns, and but still believe that it's going to be a great season, a great hunt. They're just expecting that you'll probably see fewer of the two-point bucks running around out there because we've just had a tough go of it with Mother Nature. Mm-hmm. And then all of that snow, of course, also brings on a lot of vegetation, which makes things like spot and stalk for archery or archery hunters out there tougher to do. So it's going to be important for you to do some scouting. And the fact that there's still some snow up there in the high country in places. The deer aren't going to be all concentrated around a water hole somewhere. They're going to have lots of opportunities to get hydrated, so that's going to make it a little bit tougher, too. Anyway, that conversation is coming up. Also, Roger Eggett will be joining us from Bear River Lodge. He's still in Florida, where he said he's pretty much done, I think, with the idea of being a moving company for his kids. He's going to...
Sad enough.
Huh? You know, it's like... In my old neighborhood, I had a neighbor. We bought a home without an air conditioner, without a swamp cooler. Why we did that, I have no idea. Well, I do know that. It was a financial thing. We said, no, we'll just put the swamp cooler in myself. And I had a neighbor who actually did that on his home, and I said, hey, can you help me? And he said, no, but I'll hire somebody to help you. That's how bad it was. I said, that bad, huh? He said, yeah, I don't want to do it. And Roger, I think, is kind of getting to that point when it comes to being the moving grandpa for kids around. When the next time one of the kids in the family asks whether he can help move, he's going to say, no, but I'll hire somebody to help you do that. Anyway, we'll talk to him coming up. The reason I wanted Charlie to come in this morning, and we'll take a break here in a second, and we'll focus on this in a little bit. What was it, 6 days ago, the story came out of the Boy Scout who, in the autopsy, it appears, passed away because of altitude sickness. And you think about the number, and both of you have been involved in the scouting program. I was involved in the scouting program. I don't know, Matt, where have you been?
Yeah, I'm an Eagle Scout. So
okay, awesome.
I've been involved.
Right on. Yeah. And so what a dilemma for scout leaders, because how many times have you had a group of kids who might have zero experience at hiking, never carried a backpack, haven't obviously been to higher elevations? How many times have you had a kid who told you they were feeling a little nauseous, they, you know, had a stomach ache, were a little bit dizzy, and you say, yeah, we'll just rest for a little bit and then we'll get back on the trail.
Drink some water.
I want to answer that question as a past scoutmaster for many years.
Yeah.
Every time we hike.
Every time.
Every time.
And so how do you as a leader then decide if a kid tells you he's got a headache, how do you decide that, okay, this might be altitude sickness, we're going to turn around and go back down the mountain with the entire troop just as a precaution when you have scheduled and planned and maybe in some cases paid for campsites or whatever it is to get kids to it there? I mean, this is tough, and I'm not blaming a scout leader here. I'm just saying this is something we have to figure out, and it's also something we have to be aware of. But we need to know about what those warning signs look like and how you react to those warning signs. Charlie, you had an experience in the High Uintas where you thought you were having a heart attack or something.
It
turned out that it was probably altitude sickness on your part.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And it's so random. It affects young and old, but you just never know who's going to be the one. Might be the healthiest one in the group that gets hit
you
by
don't
it.
Know.
So anyway, we're going to try and sort this out as best we can and go through some of the warning signs and things. It's just one of those stories that brings it back to the forefront and attention. You know, and I'm sure our buddy Brandon out there is probably listening. Brandon O'Brien, who came back from base camp at Everest because of it and was in the hospital for a week or so, or several days anyway. So anyway, that's coming up in a minute. But news of the week also on tap. We'll do that right around the corner. And hoping to hear from our horseback buddy who's making his way up to Idaho.
That's right. I had a great conversation with him yesterday, but we're going to save that for on air.
All right.
And Cordell's calling. Cordell's back at it again.
Back to the High Uintas. Speaking of the high elevations.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll do that. We'll take a break. Come back in just a minute. Don't go away. Thanks for waking up with us again here on KSL News Radio.
Sometimes life can have setbacks.
You said minor repairs.
Those are minor repairs. 23 minor repairs.
The setbacks that keep you from moving forward.
There are no routes to your destination. I'd stay home.
Some banks like to charge fees that set you back instead of moving you forward to financial wellness. That's why when you use the red key to open a hassle-free account, you'll be taking a big step forward. With KeyBank's hassle-free account, you'll have no overdraft fees, no